Okay, reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 9, Text 23. Bhakyavesham no yasmin vachayam namakirtayam tajan kavevaram yogi muchate kama karma bi. The personality of Godhead who appears in the mind of the devotee by attentive devotion and meditation, by chanting the holy name, releases the devotee from the bondage of fruitive activities at the time of quitting the material body. Purport, yoga means concentration of the mind, detached from all other subject matters. And actually such concentration is samadhi, or sent-to-sent engagement in the service of the Lord. And one who concentrates his intention in that matter is called a yogi. Such a yogi, devotee of the Lord, engages himself 24 hours a day in the service of the Lord, so that his whole attention is engrossed with the thoughts of the Lord in ninefold devotional service, namely hearing, chanting, remembering, worshiping, praying, becoming a voluntary servant, carrying out orders, establishing a friendly relationship, and offering all that one may possess in the service of the Lord. By such practice of yoga, or linking up in the service of the Lord, one is recognized by the Lord himself, as explained in the Bhagavad Gita concerning the highest affectional stage of samadhi. The Lord calls such a rare devotee the best among all the yogis. Such a perfect yogi is enabled by the divine grace of the Lord to concentrate his mind upon the Lord with a perfect sense of consciousness. And thus by chanting his holy name before quitting the body, the yogi is at once transferred by the internal energy of the Lord to one of the eternal planets, where there is no question of material life and its concomitant factors. Material existence. Material existence. A living being has to endure the material conditions of threefold miseries, life after life, according to his fruit of work. Such material life is produced by material desires only. Devotional service to the Lord does not kill the natural desires of a living being, but they are applied in the right cause of devotional service. This qualifies the desire to be transferred to the spiritual sky. General Bhishma Dev is referred to a particular type of yoga called Bhakti Yoga, and he was fortunate enough to have the Lord directly in his presence before quitting the body. He therefore desired the Lord stay before his view in the following verses. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Taksur Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vanshakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripashindu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasude Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So greetings from New Jersey. I'll be doing a program somewhere around that Toms River area, maybe a little north of that. Place called Ohana Yoga. And yesterday we had the fourth verse of the Sri Upate Shamrita class, Nectar of Instruction. If any one of you want to actually see that, we're videoing them all. They send me an email, we can put you on our Facebook group where they're videoed, but very happy how it's coming out. There's a way of learning it from learning the analogies and the verses, except I'm really trying to get to the core essence and show how the different points, especially in Prabhupada's purport, elucidate that. And it's so nice seeing people that are even not really fully committed devotees and seeing committed devotees enjoying the class. Now, we know in the story that we're up here in the Bhagavatam, within the general context, Navasita Goswami explaining about the life of Maharaj Prickett, that's a general context, but Maharaj Prickett is a devotee. And a devotee means one who's always with Krishna or focused on Krishna. And because he actually has even, in one sense, even a familial relationship and is contemporary with Krishna to some extent, younger but contemporary means he was on the planet at the same time. We're also getting an introduction to Krishna, which is really the purpose why the sages of Naimisharanya asked Sutta Goswami to tell him about Maharaj Prickett, because he was the recipient of this book, the Bhagavatam, which is about Krishna. Anyway, in this particular segment after the war, we have Yudhisthira despondent and being sent basically by Vyasadeva and Krishna to his grandfather to get an answer to his despondency, which is, why do bad things happen to good people? And he explained it, and basically explained it from the perspective of God. His benediction, his goodness, is not giving us things, but changing our consciousness. And to change our consciousness, he may take away things and may make it difficult for us. But if you see God in that and respond to it by Dharma, and under guidance, you'll extract that fruit of realization. And then Bhishma Dev in his ecstasy begins to explain about Krishna, which is his Ishtadev, and what is the position of Krishna. And not only that, but how kind he is to appear before him at the end of his life, and then makes a comment how this is the highest form of meditation. Meditation is a technique to control the mind, uncontrolled, which is the source of all difficulties. Ultimately, all difficulties are the mind, because that's where suffering rests. Things may cause suffering, but suffering's in the mind, and therefore, those same things in another circumstance don't cause suffering. So suffering is not constitutional to things, it's constitutional to consciousness. So So he's Bhishmadev is relating to focus the mind, that the best way is to do it devotionally. Because meditation is a technique to concentrate the mind, and by concentrating the mind, quelling the mind, and by quelling the mind, bringing it up to a higher level of perception and contentment. Because the more you see what's there, the less difficulty you'll have with it, with what you're seeing. Because everything is God, you'll actually see that. And so he's explaining how this is the best type of meditation. Because meditation is absorption, and the deepest absorbatory, I don't know if I made that word up, but I like it, the deepest absorbatory facility is to be connected to an object through a strong emotional connection with it. That's why even Kamsa got a form of liberation in his fear. Because one way or another, Krishna, 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 Krishna. And that connection with Krishna is purified. Because we are connected to Krishna, and it brings out our real self as servants of Krishna. We're consciousness. And consciousness reaches its fruition in love. So we have bhakti means connection to the object of meditation through love. And therefore, in the purport here, Prabhupada's describing how this is the topmost form of yoga. And he quotes the Gita. Yoginam api sadesham madhyatena taratmanam shradhavam bhajate yomam same yukto mato mataha. Of all yogis, one who worships me with faith and devotion is the highest of all. Control the mind by practice and detachment. And practice means concentration over a, without interruption, over a prolonged period of time in the right attitude or mood. So that's how we perfect yoga. And that ability to become absorbed in an object of love. An object of love brings out the energetical connection between two people. If there's a natural relationship, it brings out a deep connection between people and an absorption in each other. Just like a young child with the mother, even when they're practically born, seeing the object of their love, the mother is so protective and caring, then the natural feelings of motherly love come out of the heart. So the same way, when we focus on Krishna with the right conception, and with the right heart. Because if you don't have the right conception and you don't have the right heart, that will skew your perception of Krishna. And naham prakasya sarvasya yoga maitha. This, I'm not manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. So if you're meditating, but you don't have the right conception or attitude, you won't be able to focus. Or what you'll be focusing on is not the object, but your false conception of the object. And it won't have that. That's why faith is required for spiritual experience, not just object, but your consciousness towards the object. Because faith makes the mind receptive to what you have trust in. Gopinathacharya chastised his brother-in-law, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who didn't understand who Lord Chaitanya was, even though he was trying to help him or instruct him. He said, even though the Supreme Lord is standing before you, you will not recognize him because you think of yourself as a separate and independent God. So you have to have the right understanding and the right desire. When you have the right understanding and the right desire, then you will experience experience God. And experiencing God means to feel God, and feeling God means praying, because it's the energy between two people in relationship. This is a very, very powerful yoga, because as you meditate on, God as the object of love, God reciprocates by revealing more and more of himself. So the meditation becomes increasingly intensified. And anyway, persons can never be known intellectually. Persons can only be known in relationship. Because without love, someone will not reveal themselves to you. So who's the topmost yogi? One who worships me, Krishna says, with faith and devotion. Yoginam api sarvesham magyatena shradhavam bhajateyo. Faith and devotion. Faith and devotion. And then we experience God, we feel God, and we love God, and the meditation becomes deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. Prabhupada said, one who's the topmost yogi, he's just 24 hours a day engaged in service. And what service does, it expresses our heart to the object of our adoration in a way that inspires the object of our adoration to reciprocate by revealing themselves. So this is what happens to a bhakti yogi. He has that mood of service, and he's actively serving. When he serves God, God sees the heart of the devotee. And as God sees the heart of the devotee, God can trust that devotee with his own heart. And therefore, there's a very, very dynamic process of meditation. The longer the meditation goes, the easier it becomes. And I find this with chanting. Sometimes easier to chant 64 rounds than one round. Because there's a reciprocation that creates an absorption. And then you transcend relative time because you're in the moment. Time doesn't exist in the moment. Time exists when the moment moves, either from the past or to the future. But when you're absorbed, those movements don't affect you. And here, what he's specifically saying is you'll become perfect at the time of life when quitting your body, which is the whole purpose of everything. Life is the preparation for the a new body, a new existence. So this moment of death is very, very crucial. And that cruciality is expressed in the Bhagavad Gita as yam yam vapi smaram bhavam tajantyante kalebram tam tame vaitikonteya sudatad bhava bhavata. Whatever your nature, whatever you're thinking at the time of death, to that nature you will go. And Bhishma Dev's meditation was so intense. It was so absorbed and so thick that he lost all cognizance of everything outside himself. Even himself, he became lost in his meditation. Your meditation becomes so focused on the object of your love and devotion that you're so not self-absorbed that you forget yourself. That's what blew Ramananda Roy's mind in Ramananda Siksha. What blew his mind is, as Lord Chaitanya was saying, more, I want to hear more, more, I want to hear about perfection. And then Ramananda Roy explained that in the highest intimate union and connection between Radha and Krishna, Radha is so focused on Krishna and Krishna is so focused on Radha that they lose complete awareness of their limited selves. Okay, we'll go on to the next verse. Sudeva Devo Bhagavan Pratikshatam Kalevaram Yavid Idam Hanam Aham Prasanna Hasaruna Lochanolasam Mukam Bujo Dhana Patas Chitur Buja. May my Lord, who is four-handed, and whose beautifully decorated lotus face with eyes as red as the rising sun is smiling, kindly wait me at that moment when I quit this material body. Purport. Bhishma Dev knew well that Lord Krishna is the original Narayan. His worshipable deity form, Narayan, is a plenary expansion of Lord Krishna. Indirectly, he desired Lord Sri Krishna to manifest himself in his four-handed feature of Narayan. A Vaishnava is always humble in his behavior. Although it was cent per cent that Bhishma Dev was approaching Vaikuntha Dhamma just after leaving this material body, still as a humble Vaishnava, he desired to see the beautiful face of the Lord. For after quitting the present body, he may not be in a position to see the Lord anymore. A Vaishnava is not puffed up, although the Lord guarantees his pure devotee entrance into his abode. Here Bhishma Dev says, as long as I do not quit this body, that means that the great general would quit the body by his own will. He was not forced by the laws of nature. He was so powerful that he could stay in his body as long as he desired. He got this benediction from his father. He desired that the Lord stay before him in his four-handed Narayan teacher so that he might concentrate upon him and thus be entranced in that meditation. Then his mind might be sanctified with thinking of the Lord. Thus he did not mind wherever he might go. A pure devotee is never very anxious to go back to the kingdom of Godhead. He entirely depends on the goodwill of the Lord. He is equally satisfied if the Lord desires him to go to hell. The only desire that the pure devotee entertains is that he may always be in rapt attention with thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord, regardless. Bhishmadev, what is this much only that his mind be absorbed in thinking of the Lord? And he passed away thus. This is the highest ambition of a pure devotee. Just like Bhishmadev is always off, the Haridas Thakur is often compared to Bhishmadev. So this comparison that Haridas Thakur is a great devotee and he wanted to leave in that significant moment of transition in a consciousness of love, which could be facilitated by the object of his devotion appearing before him. Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam tajantyante kalevaram tam tame vaiti kongte asadatar bhava bhava. Whatever you're thinking, whatever your mood is, at the time of death, that state will you'll attain. The face is an index of the mind. The physical body is a gross body is product of the subtle body. So he wanted to see God and see God in the particular relationship he has with God, because focus is most intense when there is relationship. Even better than chanting the holy name is chanting the names of your beloved Lord, because there's an enhanced attraction in relationship. And part of that love, it's not selfish to want to be with God. Because the greatest offering of service to God is the heart of devotion. And that's what the real darshan is of the deities. Allowing God to see our heart, making our heart an offering. The heart that wants to serve. Okay. We'll go on. Sutta uvacha yudhisthira strakarnya shayanam shala panjare apicha divadandharmam vishinam chanushinvatam. Sutta Goswami said, Maharaj Prickett, after hearing Bhishmadev speak in that appealing tone, asked him, in the presence of all the great rishis, about the essential principles of various religious duties. So his physical, what is it, his philosophical doubt was satisfied, which gave him the will to live and the understanding of the offering to God as a ruler that he was to offer. So after hearing Bhishmadev speak, then he asked some very practical advice, which could be applied in the world, because after all, our mental, physical, and social peace is connected to the higher endeavor of self-realization, because generally speaking, proper occupational duty is one physical, mental, and social health. Social health, because the society constructed like that has the proper people doing the proper things. most dysfunction we see in ISKCON is because they don't have a qualified person doing a particular service. The managers, people who, you know, kshatriyas, there should be Brahmins, there should be Vaishyas, economic based, there should be laborers or people who can do, of course, Vaishnavs can take the position of humble service anytime, whatever caste they're in. But unless you have a community that can offer these services, it's going to be disturbed, and you're going to feel it. Many of us have been in a Hare Krishna temple or something where there wasn't good leadership, and we were disturbed, and it took away from our spiritual life. And when it is done properly, then it facilitates. It's not automatic, but it facilitates the focus on Krishna. So now, Maharaj Yudhisthira understood he should live some more and rule. Now he's acting very practical things. Purport, Bhishma Dev speaking in that appealing tone convinced Maharaj Prickett that he was very soon passing away. Maharaj Yudhisthira that he was very soon passing away. Maharaj Yudhisthira was inspired by Lord Krishna to ask him the principles of religion. Lord Sri Krishna inspired Maharaj Yudhisthira to ask Bhishma Dev in the presence of many great sages, indicating thereby that the Lord's devotees like Bhishma, although apparently living as a worldly man, is far superior to many great sages, even Vyasadeva. Because it's not your job, it's your consciousness. Of course, the job can affect the consciousness. But with the right consciousness, one can affect the job. Another point that Bhishma Dev at that time was not only lying at a bed of arrows, but was greatly aggrieved because of that state. One should not have asked him any question at that time. But Lord Krishna wanted to prove that his pure devotees are always sound in body and mind by dint of spiritual enlightenment. And thus, in any circumstance, a devotee of the Lord is in perfect order to speak of the right way of life. We saw that with Prabhupada. He hadn't eaten in 6 months, basically, or very little, maybe a half glass of pomegranate juice. And the nerves were intertwangled with the bones. Very painful condition. I saw that myself being in Prabhupada's room. But he was translating the Bhagavatam in the 10th canto, lying in his bed, are some of the most profound purports, I think the most profound that he ever gave. So Krishna sometimes wants to show how a devotee is liberated. It's not that desires are not coming. It's not that the body is not transforming and moving. It's just one is not affected by that. Yudhisthira also preferred to solve his problematic questions by asking Bhishma Dev rather than ask anyone else present there who were seemingly more learned than Bhishma Dev. This is due to the arrangement of the great wheel chariot Lord Sri Krishna, who established the glories of his devotees. The father likes to see the son become more famous than himself. The Lord declares very emphatically that worship of his devotee is more valuable than worship of the Lord himself. So this is the mind of God, and this has been revealed in this whole chapter. That God thinks of his devotee and thinks how to serve his devotee. And devotee is one who takes full shelter of God. And therefore God is reciprocating with his devotee by creating situations to, one, elevate his consciousness, and two, to demonstrate his glories. So Krishna, therefore, is Bhakta Vatsala. He is a Dina Bandhu. He's a friend of the poor. He's affectionate towards his devotees. And that's the glory of God. The glory of God, or the glory of any person, is his heart. Obviously not his position. Or not just his position, but his heart. How much love he has. And therefore God's glory, because in love you give control over yourself to another for service. Sanskrit term for gopi, kinkri, what you want I will do. Pradyumna Prabhu told me a great definition of bhakti. To make yourself available. For what? For whatever, what someone else wants. What God wants. So love means surrender. Your control of your life becomes the will and desire of someone who you love and want to please. But God is also a person. His glory is the same thing, love. Therefore, in love, he gives control of himself over to the desires of his beloved. And that's why it says in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that one of the qualities of bhakti at the level of bhava is sadulava. Because God is not going to give that control unless he sees love. But when he sees love, he will give it. But it's very rare to have that love and invoke the trust in anybody, what to speak, invoke the trust in God. So now he'll speak the very practical things. Purusha svabhava vihitam yatavarnam yatastamam Aragya-raja-padityam apnabo bhaya-lakshanam. At Marge Yudhisthira's inquiry, Bhishma Dev first defined all the classifications of caste and orders of life in terms of individual qualifications. Then he systematically, in twofold divisions, describe counteraction by detachment and attachment. Okay, does anyone have any questions?
Hi, Krishna. Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail.
Hi, Bo, Gail. Hi, Bo. Where are you now?
Yeah, I'm on my way to the Bhakti Center. I'm about to leave the house.
Okay.
I had a question. Actually, from yesterday, but you spoke about something today that reminded me of it. So you say that, you know, the more we use things in Krishna's service, the more we will see that those things are his and that everything is his. And when we do see that everything is his, then we will love him. And so I need to make that leap from seeing that everything is his to loving him.
I don't remember saying that, but I'll think about what I intended. But well, what is not love is. What is that word, Gail, that we use, not love?
Narcissistic. You mean narcissism.
Yeah, narcissistic. When you're narcissistic, you see the world according to your own desires.
Right.
When you have love, you see the world according to someone else's. And so I was explaining how karma yoga, you take things which you've tried to falsely enjoy, invoking a consciousness that they're separate from God, and then when you're offered to God, then when they're offered to God, you'll see that they are gods.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to make the connection myself because I don't remember. So you offer it to God, then you'll see that those things are gods.
Well, actually, I'm thinking of something as you're speaking, that when you see that everything is God and that therefore everything is God, that's in a way, that's like saying that you're seeing God. And to see God, to actually see Him.
I think that's one way. I'm trying to extract what I said at that particular time in that class, which was just yesterday, Well, another thing is, I don't know, maybe the glories of God, or you see God, or you're engaging in God's service. There's different ways that love exists. I don't really remember specifically. Okay, anything else?
For me, I'm okay. Thank you so much.
Okay. Anybody else?
By the way, that was like a really great class yesterday. Really great. So thank you.
You know, I wanted to. This is Super Soul, Gail, right? I'll tell you why this is Super Soul. I'll tell you why it's Super Soul. Because I wanted to ask you, right? I wanted to ask you. I'm going to tell you, you're going to laugh about this. I wanted to ask you, right, but I would say it would sound so horrible, right? How was my class yesterday, Gail? Like I'm some insecure guy, right? How was my class yesterday, Gail? But I wanted to ask you, because of all the classes I gave, I was most dissatisfied giving yesterday's class. And whenever that happens, you always say it was the best class. So I really wanted to know if you were going to say this is the best class, because I was up there struggling. And the reason I was struggling, I'll tell you, for two reasons. That, one, I felt I reviewed the subject too much and couldn't get into the next verse spontaneously. And just as I was getting going, this completely new person who was invited by Kastuba.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I know.
Had no idea, entered into the class, and then all of a sudden I was faced with the nightmare of a speaker of the divided minds.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I was on a roll and I had to go back. But anyway, that's interesting, Gail. What did you like about the class?
I even came home and I was having a conversation with my yasse, glorifying your class. Because I was telling her, normally, you know, I don't like it when you ask us to do the free writing because, you know, I don't really have much to say. I just write Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare throughout the whole thing. But yesterday I told her I wish that she had been there because, you know, it was one of those classes where I came away with so many points that I just wanted to become part of my consciousness, you know, and take with me.
Okay.
You know, through my life. You know, so there was several things.
Give me an example.
One was that, you mentioned it in this class too, that when you, it's a point that you always make, that when you, when you respond properly to a situation, and responding properly means, you know, according to principle, under the advice of sadhus, that you will get a realization that makes the difficulties that you had to deal with worth it, you know. You know, or another one is that everything is God's. Everything is God's. So when you receive anything from anybody, it's really God's prasad. You know, it's his mercy.
I can explain to the people listening. The point was in the six loving exchanges, giving and taking is love. So how is taking love? And the realization was, is when you take something from someone, you are acknowledging their kindness. And you're acknowledging their qualities in relationship with Krishna or a devotee, it makes you appreciate and love them more. And that's what bhakti is. Bhakti means to turn your consciousness to someone in love. So anyway, well, thank you, Gail. That was good. I was very happy you could speak to Bobby. You never met her before.
No, but I learned that I had gone to see you at the yoga studio in Carroll Gardens that she's affiliated with. So it was like, oh, what a small world.
Yeah. Anyway, that was the first time she came to the class there. You know, that was nice. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Maharaj, I have a quick question.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna, this is Himanshu. So Maharaj, I was just wondering, the point you were making in the beginning about absorption, one of the things I've noticed is that whenever I try really hard to, like, tell myself, okay, now I'm just going to do this one thing for the next 2 hours, I notice after about, like, 20 or 30 minutes, the mind gets this desire, okay, do something, just do something, whatever it is, and then come back to whatever you're doing. And then I think often about the sixth chapter of Gita, how there's a systematic progression in the series of, you know, steps leading ultimately to samadhi, and I always think, well, this is not really for the bhakti yogis, this is for the, you know, the dhyana yogis. And I wonder how relevant it is for us as aspiring devotees to practice this quality of, you know, pratyahara, for instance, withdrawing from external sense objects and really learning to get absorbed. Is that something we should, like, really practice and be concerned about, or is that something that just happens perhaps over time?
I think it's a twofold process, and it's always a twofold process. It's always practice and detachment. So obviously that in one sense is more in terms of ganic things, but in terms of the process of bhakti, you know, we do have discipline and determination. But our discipline and determination is not separate from devotion in the sense that the real power to absorb us will come from our reciprocation and love for Krishna. But to get that love and reciprocation, we have to make the effort to control our mind and focus it on Krishna, just like the verse, Aham sarvasya prabhavo matasarvam pavartate iti bhutva bhajanti mam buddhava. I am the source of the material and spiritual worlds. The wise who know this engage in my devotional service, right? Then it says, Tesham satatiyuktanam vajatam priti purvakam tadami. And those who worship me with faith and devotion, I give them the knowledge which they come back to me. So it's a twofold process. One, there has to be some preliminary effort and understanding, but unlike the process of Dhyan, that effort alone is not, you know, your linchpin, if that's the word, to reach perfection. It's the mercy of God. But it has to begin with there. So I think the same thing in terms of our own meditation. It's not going to be by our yogic powers, but we have to have some determination and some effort to control the mind and detach the mind. Does that help?
Thank you. Yeah.
Thanks. Okay, great. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Another fantastic class. Thank you. I have a lot to think about.
I felt good today. Probably Gail says this is one of his worst classes. I'm just joking. But okay, great. Okay, anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Govardhan Bhakta Das.
Govardhan Bhakta, Hare Bo. Yeah, sometime this summer I still should come over to your house. We'll work that out.
Yes, Maharaj, definitely.
Good. Okay, I'm going to end now. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.